Welcome to the Innovators and Investors Podcast. I'm Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of Finstrat Management. At Finstrat, we provide CFO-led accounting, finance, and reporting services to assist clients monetize their business. Stick around to the end of the podcast, and I'll share how you can be our next guest. Now, on to the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Innovators and Investors Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of Finstrat Management. With us today, we have Diane Yu. Diane is the co-founder and CEO of Tidalwave. Diane, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Let's start with Tidalwave. What problem is it solving in the marketplace?
When I think about problem, if you think about this, like a 21st century, with many people that, you know, can get everything they want at the fingertip, but not for mortgage. When you're applying for mortgage, you talk to people, you send them a lot of documents, and maybe in like 2 weeks or 45 days sometimes, they come back and tell you the updated information. So why is that the consumer in 21st century, they still couldn't get the immediate answer right away as they're providing those information? It's because this industry, not only, you know, basically between the borrowers and then the final investor who's buying their mortgage, there are a lot of paperwork in between. There are a lot of company get involved in between in order to make that happen. So that's why the consumer doesn't have the best experience. And the Tidalwave is there to solve for that.
Wow. All right, so my personal experience has been after I submit all my paperwork, a loan analyst takes a look at everything and maybe they come back with questions. How is Tidalwave addressing the need to conduct diligence on an application?
So excellent question. So Tidalwave started off as creating an AI-powered capability, which is very different comparing to any other capability out there in the market. So number one, our AI-powered capability can interact with the borrower at the time of their preference, meaning that we can have the conversation. We can, you know, ask you a question. You can ask the AI question and getting the information submitted in the way that is properly prepared for a mortgage application. And in the middle of that, the borrower would also give our AI the permission to evaluate, example, like a credit report, example, like having AI have the access to your bank statement so that our AI can evaluate your bank statement, can evaluate your credit report in the time, at the time that you're submitting, giving us the permission. Thus, we can provide real-time question answers back to the borrower. That creates a huge difference. It's a big differentiator comparing to all the point of sale system out there in the industry.
And so that's amazing. And so I know different lenders have different risk profiles. How does Tidalwave address the unique preferences of lenders when looking at applications?
So before I even starting to answer that question, let me give you a little bit about my background and my team's background.
Sure.
So there are a lot of AI tools out there and they're creating one-off tool. They will not be able to answer those questions in depth, in detail. And my team is very different because my team comes from a fully enterprise technology platform build-out team. And then I came back to my first company, FreeWheel. When I started FreeWheel, FreeWheel is aimed to build a technology platform for advertising. So the tech platform powered all the global media companies on the planet, okay? So we counted company like ABC, NBC, Disney as the customer. We competed with Google, head and head competition, never lost a deal. So we end up being a pretty powerful, even small, but a mighty with an outsized influence company as a tech platform to power the global media company for TV advertising. We end up being that type of company. And then Comcast made the acquisition. So my team was the team that had experience to build a large, complex technical platform to power the large enterprise. because that's the team understand what's critical to create a platform that powered large enterprise. When we started off building Tidal Wave, our approach is very different. We understand our platform need to be able to power different type of lenders, large enterprise lender and a small independent mortgage banker. Okay, so we understand each lender has their own different criteria or the risk profile on which is coming back to your question. Because we understand that, starting from ground zero, we build out the capability, I call that configurable, super configurable capability based on each lender's risk profile. Okay, so as part of the onboarding, we would implement our customers, you know, basically special overlays, the type of things that they deem important. And then that way, you know, basically our system can react in the way that bespoke to that particular customer.
So that makes great sense. And I would imagine that being able to accommodate a whole host of different buyers gives you a material leg up. I'm curious, you know, so you hear a lot of conversations about founders or advice founders receive about getting to market as quickly as possible with a MVP. And, you know, by consequence, perhaps sacrificing features and functions with the first release. I'd love to know your philosophy and the approach you took with Tidal Wave and getting to market.
I do think that's very important. And then especially as a small startup, and then you start with a limited resource, right? You have to decide as a founder, you have to decide what's important for you. And we take the similar approach, right? And Tidal Wave doesn't start with, you know, basically want to do everything end to end altogether, okay? And that way we won't be able to take off the ground. So what we're aiming to do is we started with a smaller, much smaller digestible tool. We call that point of sale. It's a point of sale plus because we use the point of sale and also with a plus AI agent to power the capability, okay? So from get-go, of course, we have the benefit of starting like March 2023 and right after the large language model starting to take off. We just happened to pick the right technology, right? At the time, when we look at the capabilities, we're saying, you know what? Okay, large language model gonna make a huge difference. So we started off with there and then took us about like 18 months to build the initial capability. And then we went to market late last year, at beginning of this year, has generated so much impact with our initial point of sale market entrance tool. Now we have the capability with the customers that's signing up, we have the capability to be able to finish our AI agent and to bring the ultimate benefit to our lender customers and so that they can see a different way of doing the origination.
I think it makes great sense. And congratulations on your success to date. A bunch more questions on building the company before we do. You mentioned the name of the previous company was Freewill. Was
that Freewill? Yes.
So if we can go back there, and also, what did your career progression look like from the start, and how did it get to Freewill and ultimately Tidal Wave?
Okay, so it has to start from many years ago. At this point, I think it's like almost 30 years now. I started my career as an engineer, and I still consider myself an engineer today. So I started my career as an entry-level engineer at DoubleClick, which is an internet 1.0 company, okay? And then when, you know, I rose up to lead the engineering team, so to Google. That's when I left, started my own company called Freewill, and to build a different capability, still in advertising, but build a different capability to power TV advertising. And then 7 years in, Comcast made the acquisition. I stayed at Comcast for another 7 years. They helped them to acquire a company, five of them, and putting all the platform together for, you know, basically TV advertising from buy to sell. Okay, it's an exchange. That's when I was like, you know what? I've spent 20 plus years in advertising. I want to learn something new. So I tried something very different. I jumped right into fintech at Better Mortgage as their CTO. Learned everything about mortgage origination from beginning all the way to the end. And I realized as a lender, the reason that all those lenders are facing such a big challenge is because they don't have the right tool. So I left Better with the mission. I want to build a capability as the technical platform, utilizing my technical expertise. And with the team followed me into Better, learned everything about mortgage origination, and left Better together. We built Tidalwave. So we, you know, started Tidalwave with the mission to be able to build a technology platform, power all the lenders in the industry, from the top to the small, so that everybody has an opportunity to utilize what this platform provide to originate very, very differently, change the industry.
How do you feel your backgrounds and roots as an engineer has benefited your career and Tidalwave as you come to market?
It certainly does, because, well, number one, I would typically say I'm a outsider, okay? So I didn't grow up in mortgage industry. And then so I have the benefit and my team has the benefit to come in and learn with a fresh pair of eyes to understand what are the things that could be done differently, okay? From the outsider perspective, and also combining that with the rest of my team, which is in sales, implementation, and then, you know, customer front. And they came with 25, 30 plus years of mortgage industry experience. So combining the outsider view and the insider view together, that's how to enable us to build Tidalwave with the right type of market entrance tool, as an example. Right? As an outsider, you wouldn't know and what tool is the right tool. So we pick the point of sale because we understand the mortgage industry, which is credited to my CRO who spent years at Encompass and at Black Knight at all of those. And he spent like more than 25 years of his career selling the software. Okay. And he understands what it takes, which part of the market makes sense as the first entrance. And I learned from him even before he joined. You know, I remember like March 2023, we started company soon after, like May 2023, he and I got together. I was like, you know what? Okay, Chris, I'm gonna build this. And he sat there, listen. He said, Diane, starting from the back end, even though as an engineer, it's the right entrance, but it's not the best. Why don't you think from a different perspective? Why don't you think from the point of sale? The point of sale industry has been lacking of innovation for a long time. It's a smaller problem to bite off to start and also touch so many vendors. So you could have the best way of entering the market and starting from there. So I listened. That's the benefit, right? Because, you know, I don't come in with an arrogant that I know them all. I don't. And I listen to the, you know, expert in the industry that, you know, basically combining the best of both world, insider and outsider, we were able to build this capability.
I mean, it sounds like a great way to complement your experience and expertise, both within the domain and just in your career in general. And so with that, at Freewheel, what were some of the key business lessons you learned over the years leading up to your acquisition by Comcast?
That's an excellent question. Let me think. There are many things that we learned. One of the critical pieces that come to me is you don't have to do everything right. I think for founders, and especially founders from startup, if you're me, you know, you're, you know, paranoid. I am paranoid because I always worry maybe we're doing it wrong. Let me tell you, as the second time founder, you're going to grow to realize that You don't have to do everything right. Okay. It is important to pick something that you feel strongly about and start from there and learn. And you don't have to prove to everyone that you're right. Okay. So you just have to make sure that things, there's one thing you believe so strongly, you do that, you make a continual improvement adjustment. And then many startups say that's it's pivot, right? Pivot is not good. Actually, it's good, you know, because as you learn things, you start to realize, you know, it's very important that you don't hold your past. You don't have to, you know, basically so fixated, stubborn that I have to prove everybody that you're right. Because you can always make the adjustment. Making adjustment at the right time will help the startup be more successful much later on. And you don't have to be so, you know, like proud of what you've done, and it's okay. It's okay to give up what you believe at once that is correct. Make the proper adjustment to adapt to the new market. And then that's what we learned. You know, and at FreeWheel, I would say that we didn't get everything right, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end that, you know, basically we had about over 70% of market share for the industry we were in. And then that's why Comcast made the acquisition because, hey, you know what? They have to own this company.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great insight. And it mirrors my own experience. You know, action is paramount. Learning is key, you know, and evolving as you learn, you know, it's difficult to do if you're not taking action. You mentioned acquisitions while you were at Comcast. You know, would love to know how you think about acquiring other businesses as part of growth. And then, you know, anything in particular that you would look at, whether the founders, the software, or the market, when you are making these acquisitions, that you think is relevant to share with the audience?
So, yeah, so certainly at Comcast, I acquired a lot of company. So I would say that, especially based on the experience, there are several things, especially as the founder when you're making decision, or the decision maker when you're making the decision whether you want to acquire business or not. First of all, you never go into the business acquisition mode just by looking for a company to acquire. You have to understand what you want to do as yourself as a company. And then you evaluate, come back with the missing pieces. And then you decide for that missing piece whether you have the right target in the industry, who, you know, whoever is out there providing the right type of tool, or maybe they have the right customer that you want to, you know, basically acquire and know. So once you make that decision, everything else will be easier. And you have to also be very conscious about the culture. Because when you acquire companies, not just the business, it's also the culture that come with it. And you have to be open to how to blend the culture in, because you have your existing culture, you have a new company, they bring in a different type of culture. You have to make sure it's a culture fit in many ways. Many of the acquisitions fall apart. It's not because of strategy wasn't working. It's because of the culture of the two company doesn't gel. And that creating so much, you know, so much problem challenge for you down the road, and you couldn't execute your strategy. So you want to be super, super careful on that.
I'd be curious to know, I know Comcast has a big balance sheet, but did you ever find yourself in conversations of building versus buying?
Of course, all the time, all the time. So sometimes you make the right decision to make the acquisition because that's something that you don't own and you want to own. In this case, Comcast didn't have the tool that FreeWheel has. That was the reason why we also, as part of the founder, and we realized that with Comcast platform, the company can grow so much faster. That was the reason why we decided to join Comcast platform, because we are powering TV You know, Comcast has a such a large, gigantic TV distribution network. You know, it's not certainly not for to sell off, you know, basically make money. It's more for to grow the free will in a way that as an independent company, you couldn't grow, which come back to a lot of founders, you know, probably facing similar type of challenge or question or opportunity down the road, similar, right? When you evaluate whether you're gonna continue on the path yourself or you want to join a company with a much bigger platform, you need to think about whether become a part of a bigger company will help you to grow faster. Because we are all, as entrepreneur, we're all very passionate about what we want to do. And, you know, to me especially, is, you know, the number one priority is making sure the company that we set out to do is gonna grow. And then with the, you know, to be able to get to our strategic direction, go faster. That to me is more important comparing to, you know, have to own this company, have to be the one that who actually, you know, run and manage the company.
Yeah, I think that's great insights for any founders who are looking to sell their company is, you know, what is your long-term goal? Is there a good fit culturally with a potential acquirer? And are there any unique benefits that an acquiring company offers, especially if I presume if there's going to be an earnout or a need to work with the company for a year or more following an acquisition. You mentioned distribution, so let's come back to Tidal Wave. Without revealing any trade secrets, I would love to know how you think about marketing and expanding sales throughout the country.
So far, we're very fortunate in the position that, to be very honest, I have not spent any dollar on product marketing at all, okay? I do think the best product will sell on its own, meaning that it will travel like, you know, basically via the word of mouth, okay? So because our capability is very different, point of sale plus, when we demo, our customer see the value. When they see the value, you know, we get the first early adopters and we help them to launch them. And we're in the position that our early adopter customer are so excited about our product capability. They on their own go out on their own and bring their other friends that in the lender industry to us. Okay. So that's the best, right? Best situation. But I wouldn't say that it's because everything will happen automatically, right? As a small startup, you're gonna know many of the founders, you're gonna see the early adopters were hard to find. Especially in mortgage, right? In lending. And then there are a lot of risks you have to take into consideration. There are a lot of regulation you have to take into consideration. So the initial early adopter is pretty hard to find. For us, we are very fortunate because, you know, my CRO and then my head of sales and engineering, you know, they basically came from the industry. So the benefit of someone came from the industry is they've known they're connected, plugged into the industry.
Sure.
They understand from their past work experience who are the type of lenders that would speak to, would adopt to the like early technology, like innovative technology. So they helped us handpick a few early, you know, I would say early adopter of the lending industry. And then everything just take off from there, you know, and then that's how we grow our pipeline. Our pipeline in the past quarter, 3 months, just exploded. And we grew like 3x of the pipeline, like within that quarter. And then only considering we have like two sales. And then, you know, I'm not paying anything for like product marketing at all. So business has been growing really tremendously.
What? Congratulations. Super exciting. You know, if I put my fractional CFO hat on, or my CFO hat on, would I, you know, I hear zero, you know, near zero customer acquisition cost. And by consequence, your customer lifetime value, you know,
if CAC is zero, it's technically infinite once you start making sales. But let's just say the ROI is materially greater of 6 to 1. Do you think that, or can you see a scenario as time goes on where, because you're generating such a large ROI, that you would start to spend money on customer acquisition costs to start?
Of course, of course. So I'm not naive, right? Because of my past experience of running a large company and grow a company from zero to a pretty decent size. By the way, Comcast acquisition is like close to 400 mil. So it's not like a small, tiny company. We understand. So at certain stage, I would say that next year, and as we coming out of, I define that we came out of stealth early this year, Q4 of last year. And now we have customer launch on our platform and our pipeline by, basically traveling by, word of mouth. It's just exploded. And at certain stage, probably next year, we would have to look at expanding to the customer potential prospect that we have no connection, prior connection with, which means that we would have to spend the product marketing dollars to be able to reach to the audience that we have no connection, right? So that's called part of growing up. And we are, I'm not naive to think this will continue forever. And of course, we have a pretty big, good starting point, but we still need to, think about this, planning about that, very carefully for next year. And then that's the goal.
Yeah, I think it's a great strategy. And I bet you if we were to start taking a look at Tidal Wave's sales cycle, they're probably less than industry average, given that you're leveraging those existing relationships, which obviously you and I know in the beginning is brilliant, because it helps validate, your market thesis, but also to start just bringing cash in the door.
Yep.
Earlier we were talking about culture. I'd love to know your philosophy on, building culture. Are you deliberate, or do you find that it happens or organically?
So I would say both, right? Because you would be naive to think that everything can just happen organically, right? Of course you prefer, right? And we do, as a small startup, we do have the benefit. For example, because of my background, experience, so we have a really, really deep bench of the connections. Both from the engineering perspective, also from mortgage technology expert perspective. So we have the benefit of, basically to be able to tap in our network to bring the best people, which is very good, because when we evaluate and whoever should be, we want to get them to join us the next. And we evaluate not only based on their capability, also based on whether they're a good culture fit. Right, because you want a a company to be able to grow with the right type of culture, which is very important. And especially these days, and as large language model powering the capability, I see that many company with a small team can do a lot more. But the key is the small team, whether that team gonna work with each other. Right. So in many ways that, basically bring the team with the right mentality, we call that team, spirit, right? A teamwork spirit. And then it's not like there's not one superhero who's going to own everything, but everybody with the spirit, with the mentality, the teamwork is the only work that can happen. And then we work together from sales and all the way to engineering, to delivering, running in production. It's not one person's job, it's everybody's job. When we communicate, we set the expectation from the moment that we talk to the customer, the prospects, right? We set the expectation to close the deal, bring them on board, to implementation team going in and launch the implementation project, working with our customer, to finish the implementation and having the day-to-day operational team to take over and help supporting our customer. So we work together as a team. I say that that's very important for any small company to start, to be able to, to be successful.
Is the core team in an office, or is most everyone remote?
So we have several locations that we consider as an office, and then New York is one of the location that we have our team come to the office 4 days a week. And then we also have, like myself, and of course is remote. They travel all the time. They also travel to New York as well. And then we have engineering team with basically major locations. So I see it is very important for especially as an early startup because everything moves so quickly. Okay. And then having the FaceTime and having the people that to be able to talk to each other, and then the communication bandwidth is so much greater comparing to a remote. So we're not a remote first company. I would say that we're trying to be the hybrid, right? And then allowing the remote because we want to get the talent. We also at the same time incent everybody to be in person.
I'm curious, you mentioned people come to New York. Do you try to or are you maintaining a cadence once a quarter, twice a year? How is
Yes,
there maybe?
basically it's we don't really set the criteria saying you have to be here, okay? But because there's so much benefit, whenever they come here, they go away with like so much more learning. It's just so much worth it. And then people do, and they just in general, whenever they need, they will just come over. We even have our prospects flying in to us, because it will be so much easier and they have access to my engineering team. And then they say, why don't I just fly in? And then let's have the conversation right there.
Fantastic. I love it. We've talked about since the beginning of the podcast the role that artificial intelligence is playing within Tidal Wave's success. How do you see the technology evolving over the coming years? Obviously, you were early adopter with LLMs. I would say we're in the beginning innings of the technology. What's your outlook?
We are indeed the early adopter, right? Because we started company at the right time, like right after large language model start. And then to this day, and then let me just tell you this, I'm not an easy person to be easily impressed, okay? But the progress of LLM has constantly outpaced, exceeded my expectation, okay? It is still the beginning, very beginning though. And then I see that the last, I think 2 years ago, when you talk about large language model, especially in mortgage, in banking, in fintech, people saying, you know what, that may be remote. I don't really understand this, right? And then we are a heavily, regulated industry, and we still have to wait and see whether that can be a tool that we can use. And then these days, I would say that when we talk to the prospects, and then there is a sense of we have to do something about it. Okay. Maybe I don't really know. They're large company. Some of them know exactly what they're looking for. That's why they come knocking the door and they send, basically quick demo request on our website. Okay. There are other company also, I'm not sure what I want to use for, but I have to know. And then they are also being many of the AI tool companies constantly pitching them whether you should do something, right? So the education is right there. I would say that fintech and the mortgage tech this year, I've seen a huge difference, a change, a mentality change from, hey, it may not be something that's even relevant to me to today saying, you know what? Fear of missing out. And I have to get in. I have to start to understand. And then that's a huge change. That is a huge change. And we also see that with AI, okay, the capability large language model continue to evolve. Things just getting better and better. And then because we are a purposely built utilizing the large language model with our own contextualizer, so our speed is it just being multiplied by the large language model we've never seen. That's why I feel like these days, and if you talk to a company, there's this mindset and saying, hey, you know what? This year is the year of the enterprise adoption, right? And you have to think about evaluate in every single company. If you don't have an AI strategy, you have to have an AI strategy and how you're gonna basically introduce AI power tool in your organization and how to make your team more productive. And this is where I would talk about the mindset of abundance. Any company, not just mortgage, okay? Any company, and I think the leadership from all the way from top of the leadership to your staff members, you have to think about, you have to adopt the mindset of abundance. You have to stop asking whether AI is gonna replace my job. You have to start to think about how the AI tool gonna empower me to do something I couldn't done before. Okay, just to give you my own experience. You can tell I, English is not my first language. I still, basically I struggle with the grammar error and, basically constantly pick the wrong, incorrect words, confuse people, and then feel insecure about my communication, right? And then especially creating PowerPoints. It has always been, to this day, still do, as a daunting task for me. I always drag and I cannot really produce that in the time that I wanted. With AI, I'm able to create PowerPoints in no time with beautiful graph. And AI even paraphrased my bullet point in the way that I couldn't have done before. Okay, so that, and then as an individual, as a person, just utilizing the tool, realize, you know what? All of a sudden, I can be a lot more productive. I can create beautiful PowerPoints without being dragging to it, right? And then that's the difference. That's the difference. So coming back to the mortgage industry, if you think about this, as a loan officer, okay, aren't you always wish you have a 24/7 tireless loan, basically officer assistant, and then helping your customer at the time when you are at sleep and can speak to the language your customers speak, regardless where their background come from, right? Aren't you always wish you have an expert underwriter, always work with you on your file, perfect your file before the submission, that you know for sure, you don't have to have the difficult conversation with your customer later on, right? Aren't you always wish that? And then think what AI gonna enable you to do.
I think your assessment's spot on. I think of the introduction of AI as another industrial revolution. And the same time in the past where it just reorganized human capital and made us more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
On a side note, I'm not going to discount your feelings, but I think you have a great command of the English language. So congrats.
Thank you. Still working in progress.
Great diction and excellent grammar. Diane, before we wrap up, if you had an opportunity to go back and have a conversation when you started off as an engineer, what would you share?
Excellent question. So let me think about it. For my 30 years of my career, I always prioritize how much more I can learn. So prioritize learning has helped me tremendously. And I just give you an example. When I decided to leave Google, DoubleClick, to start my own company, the reason I started that is because I want to learn what it is like a founder starting a company. And then continue my engineering leadership job at DoubleClick Google will not allow me that level of the learning. So I prioritized learning at that time, made a different decision. There were people, my friends, my mentor at the time saying, what are you doing, Diane? And you're golden handcuffed, just wait there, you're all set, right? And then later on, those people came back saying, Diane, you made the right decision because your career is totally different. I did the same thing when I stay at Comcast, help them acquiring company. As a founder, and then I can easily just stay there. Okay, I'll just have my rest of my life all set. Okay, being a leadership, part of the leadership. I didn't, because I want to learn something different. I was like, okay, advertising technology, I know about most of them already. Continue my career there is not gonna enable me to learn more. So I jumped right into fintech. And look what the big problem I discovered. Now that's the starting point of Tidal Wave. So I would say, as a young professional, and you should always prioritize learning, because only learning can help you to grow. You're going to be very different.
I love it. That's great. And there's so much value in growth on so many levels.
Yes.
Before we wrap up, anyone in your personal or professional life you'd like to recognize who's had a material impact on your career over the years?
Wow. Many. A lot of them.
Okay.
A lot of them. If you have a full episode just about that, I can fill the entire episode.
Everybody, show notes. But your call. Whoever you want to, whoever you'd like to acknowledge for now.
So I'll start with my dad. So my dad is the reason why I'm here in United States. I was born in China, and I went to Peking U. My original plan is, after graduate Peking U, I was going to stay in China and then do my own thing. I thought that already, as a young Diane, I thought I already have my life mapped out. And then my dad asked me to promise him that I'm gonna go see what outside world is about. That promise on its own made a huge difference in my life.
That's fantastic.
And I think it's the same. I would give the same advice to a younger version of me. Before you think you have your entire career, your life mapped out, always evaluate and looking what a different possibility could be.
I think that's great advice. There's an entire whole why world out there to go explore. So congratulations on your success. Diane, if there are any members of our audience who would like to get a hold of you, or learn more about Tidal Wave, how can they find you?
Reach out, go to our website, tidalwave.com, submit the demo request, or connect with us and email on LinkedIn, diane@tidalwave.com.
Fantastic. Diane, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you sharing your experience and perspective with our audience.
Thank you so much.
And again, Diane Yu, co-founder and CEO of Tidal Wave. Again, I'm your host, Christian Marquez, founder and CEO of Finstrat Management. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Innovators and Investors Podcast. Take care.
Christian Marquez here. Thank you so much for listening to the Innovators and Investors Podcast. If you're a successful founder or an investor, would like to be on the podcast, please visit podcast.finstratmgmt.com/podcast-guest. If you've got something out of this interview, please share this episode on social media. If you know someone that would be a great guest, please tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag Innovators and Investors. I'd love to see your posts and suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you catch each new episode, please subscribe to the Innovators and Investors Podcast. And your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. Would you like to know more? Go to our website, finstratmgmt.com, or follow us on LinkedIn or on X. Our handle is @finstratmgmt. This is Christian Marquez. Thank you for listening. Until next time.